What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you. It's July 14th, 2026. We're recording this on Monday, July 13th at about 1:30 p.m. on the left coast. It's a sad, solemn occasion today, as we all know. Man, we're all going to miss. We all knew him. We all loved him. Sam Neill has passed away. I would like to say, for one, rest in peace. And luckily for him, you know, his death's not going to be overshadowed by anybody else. He's the only person of note and worth the shit that has died in the past few days, so at least there's that. I'm Trey, and there's Mark. How you doing, Mark?
Good, man. Can't believe Russia killed Sam Neill. That's insane. yeah, we were talking about the Lindsey Graham's death and the fallout from it. It's some silliness surrounding it, but also it's a fun story about his life tells a story about America, and so does his death. So I thought we'd get into it. Before we get to that, though, we got a fun legal situation involving your friend and mine, the rapper Lil Boozy / Boozy Badass. If you're not familiar with Boozy, he's a rapper. He once got banned from Planet Fitness for saying some transphobic shit about Dwayne Wade's kid, and he once paid a woman to give blowjobs to his 12 and 13-year-old sons so they wouldn't turn out gay.
Yeah, he's a character, that Boozy. Yeah, I feel like he's definitely more known as a honky. Mm-hmm. He's more known generally for his, like, meme ability and saying wild shit than he is for his, like, discography. Though he did have some, like, don't get me wrong, he had some, like, hits and shit back in my day during the aughts, right, when everything was the era of, like, Butt Rock and Spike TV and Axe Body Spray and Dane Cook and all that. Well, rap was going through a similar thing, and he was hitting at that time, I feel.
Yeah,
like.
I mean, he made some really pretty good Southern butt rap. It's kind of music that plays in strip clubs where you can take your pit bulls into, that kind of place.
Yeah, right. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So, Boozy's been in some legal troubles before. Like, he beat a murder charge about a decade ago, I think. At that point, prosecutors said they also suspected him in 5 other murders. He's been seeking a presidential pardon to clear a federal gun charge. He was charged for being a felon in possession of a firearm. Conviction stemmed from his 2023 arrest in San Diego, where he was a guy spotted a gun on him when he was filming a music video. I don't know whether the gun was a prop in a music video or whether he had it to defend himself from, like, the girls dancing or whatever. I don't know. So Boozy decided that a pardon would be preferable to federal prison, which, you know, makes sense. So that's where some of old recurring characters, Jacob Wall and Jack Berkman. You remember them, Trey?
Not right now, but maybe in a minute.
So they ended up, I think, going to prison for charges in Ohio related to, like, robocall fraud, where they would, like, they called black voters and told them the election was canceled or something. Doesn't matter. But they style themselves as political operatives. But mainly what they do, they made their name for themselves framing people for sex crimes in the world's dumbest way possible. Like, do you remember when two guys held a press conference supposedly with a Marine who was going to say that Elizabeth Warren liked to do BDSM stuff to him?
Okay.
That was them. All right. That was back, like, 2019 or so. So they also, like, they had a woman, she never showed up. They had another press conference where they're going to accuse Robert Mueller of sexual assault. But it turns out he had an alibi because he was serving jury duty in another city from when they were accusing him of. Towards the end of that press conference, one reporter heckled, "Are you both prepared for federal prison?" To which Berkman replied, "No, we are not." Got to go down to the all-time heckler response. You and I both know what you want to be doing when you're put on a show is to fact-check hecklers.
Right. So these guys are, like, professional, like, spin / con artist or something. They, like, cook up cons for political figures to do.
Yeah, if we need one more example, okay.
Where do they put that in the yellow pages or whatever? You know?
I don't know. I'm not sure how these were supposed to make money, except that, like, you know, there's money floating around in, like, politics circles for rat fucking operations, probably just in donations or whatever. But, like, so they had a press conference one time where they're going to have a guy who was supposedly Kamala Harris's personal trainer. And the guy was going to say that Kamala Harris had paid him for sex, right? It'd be quote here. It was later discovered that the accuser was an actor who had responded to a Craigslist ad which requested a male actor for performance art. The man was unaware that Harris was a real person and said that he was led to believe everyone at the press conference, including journalists and hecklers, were also paid actors.
Okay. This is like a reverse jury duty situation. You know the show Jury Duty?
Yes.
It's like a reverse, except it wasn't, but what this guy thinks happened is like a reverse jury duty, which that's an interesting idea to me, kind of. It's like Borat knew that he was an actor, but it's like taking an actor and putting him into a situation where he thinks it's all other actors and stuff, but it's actually real. It's like a real life Tropic Thunder, except you don't kill people with mines or shoot them or nothing.
Right.
Anyway.
But if you're an actor hired for a job and you show up to what looks like a set, their camera's pointing at you, probably assume it's a fucking...
I don't blame the guy. But
not knowing who Kamala Harris was a real person.
Well, that's why the idea is genius, Mark. Now I'm diverting. Now I just want to do a sidebar and talk about this idea. But you're right. That guy's not an idiot. You would think that. You would believe that, which is why it would work to do it in real life. Anyway, go ahead.
So the actor said that Wohl had told him he was a director and that they were filming a show for Spike TV, second Spike TV appearance on this episode. Yeah,
I'll try to fit it in a few more times if possible now that it's a thing.
Yeah, Spike TV by this point had already shut down. Apparently either Jacob Wohl or the actor or both didn't know that. The man whose real name was attached to the allegations said that after the conference, he started to receive accusations that he was a liar via social media and he became scared to go outside. So they used his real name. And this whole thing fell apart because he wasn't actually a personal trainer. They couldn't even hire an actor who, like, half the actors in the world are personal trainers.
Yeah. Yeah. It's either that or waiter, you know? Like,
yeah. So Boosie, for some reason, he heard about them. They've been going around telling people they can procure pardons, right? So Boosie paid them $600,000 about a year ago to get him a pardon. And he says the contract says that if they didn't get him a pardon, he would pay that they would have to give him $300,000 of it back, which he's suing them for. Now, all kinds of red flags here. If you're paying someone to lie before you, it cannot be attached to a specific result. You can't pay a lawyer for a fucking result unless it's like a contingency, right? So, like he also, when he tried to sue them, they tried to beg little Boosie for like time, because he's like, let me quote here, this is a text message from them, we owe more $6 million total due, though, read this, is their fuck up, they can't write, we owe more $6 million total due to the robocall fines plus other debts, Berkman said in text to Boosie. So this is like not being able to procure a pardon in Trump's Washington when you have millions of dollars is basically fucking impossible.
Yeah. Okay. I was about to say, we've talked plenty on here. I feel like there are people out there who don't know who Kamala Harris is, but like people that are like listening at all are at least somewhat vaguely aware of this notion that like you can just purchase a pardon from President Trump, right? These guys are professional con artists. So the idea that they come up with like, we'll tell people, yeah, we can facilitate that for you. And then when the deal, unless I've misunderstood you, is, yeah, you pay us $600K and we can't guarantee anything. If it doesn't work out, we'll give you half of it back, you know, and so just keep the other half.
Uh-huh.
It feels like a pretty good scam if you're a scam artist to me with like these types of, you know what I mean? I don't know why you'd sign up for that, but I'm saying like, it makes sense if you're a amoral scam artist that you would land on that in this environment. You know what I'm saying?
It's free money. The only thing is, like, they're supposedly bankrupt. They're taking in $3.7 million a year, supposedly, into this business they have where they lobby people for nothing and just get free money and supposedly have spent it all. Like, there's a rash of professional athletes going on Instagram to talk about how they're out of money because of taxes.
Yeah,
it's like talking about how $100 million doesn't go as far as you think it does. And this feels like that to me. So the White House says that Wohl and Berkman never even called. As far as anyone could tell, the most work they did for the $600,000 was they texted Laura Loomer to see if she would do something about it. Which, okay. Let me quote here. The team at the White House working on clemency has never heard from Wohl or Berkman, does not support their work, and would advise anyone seeking clemency that their involvement will actively harm their chances. So let me translate that to you. They forgot to give Trump his cut.
Right.
And you want to know how this usually works? They did have they claimed to have gotten 9 people pardons, which is just a lie. They did have one guy who paid them who did end up getting a pardon. But he apparently got it from somewhere else. He just paid them $960,000 for an effort that went nowhere, and then he paid someone else to get the pardon. That's a guy named Joseph Swartz who was convicted for tax fraud after his nursing homes killed a bunch of old ladies after he cut costs, and he stole $39 million out of the books, right?
Okay. So
that's how this is usually supposed to work, is you steal $39 million, you get caught. A judge orders you to pay it back in restitution, and then you get a pardon from the White House and give them $1 million of it, so they get their cut. You get to keep 38 of it.
Right.
That's how this scam is supposed to work.
Right.
They fucked it all up. Anyway, Boosie's fucked because the contract he signed with Wall and Bergman is riddled with, let me quote here, is riddled with typos and errors, including a provision that would allow Boosie to request a partial refund of the $600,000 fee if the lobbyist had not secured a presidential pardon by close of business on January 31st, 2025, which was months before the agreement was even signed. So he couldn't even, Boosie didn't even bother hiring the same lawyer to do the contract who was smart enough to get him off for the murder charge. I guess what I'm saying is I hope everyone involved in this fucking ends up in prison.
Right. Yeah. I mean, on the one hand, you might think it was smart of them to go after a guy like Boosie because he might not read that kind of typo and error ridden, riddled contract. Mm-hmm. But that is where they fucked up, though, because he's like pretty hugely famous and or infamous, depending on where you're at. But it's like he's a very high profile guy. Mm-hmm. So like, and he's not going to not complain about something like this. Do you know what I mean? He's going to make a whole thing out of it. So it's like it's going to get more, you know, more scrutiny than you probably want it to if you're so running this scam on people.
They fucked with a guy who prosecutors say has killed six people. And they now hold $600,000.
Yeah, right.
There's also the part where like he spent $600,000 to get a pardon on the cheap when he could have spent $1 million, just got it if he hadn't spent, I don't know how much money he spent getting his son, his 12-year-old son, blowjobs, but Jesus Christ, he could have fucking secured a pardon.
All right. Yeah, well, via con Dios, Boosie. All right.
Go with God, buddy.
Let's keep going. Keep going with the show. No plugs until the end. You know how we do it nowadays, so we're going to jump right in with the Daily Dumbass. Matt, graphic, please. That's right. This week's DD is who else? Lindsey Graham, for being the only person who could obtain Mitch McConnell's proof of life at great personal cost.
McConnell, how is he doing? Have you heard anything?
I'm going to go check right now with my office. Okay. And hoping and praying he's doing well, but I'm going to check just right now.
Is there a contingency plan
He was able to obtain Mitch McConnell's health status by dying, and therefore making so Mitch McConnell had to post a proof of life photo. Because show this photo, Matt. Mitch McConnell posted a video of himself holding yesterday's newspaper, sitting up in his hospital bed. His statement he put out, like a bunch of people saying this is AI. I don't think it is, but whatever. Like this whole situation is so stupid. They put him in makeup and button down shirt and propped him up in a hospital bed. I think glued his eyes open for this shit. Like, it's like also their post is like he's so out of it. He's smiling in this photo.
Yeah.
Which is posted on the occasion of Lindsey Graham's death. And he didn't even mention Lindsey in his statement that accompanied it. Maybe he's smiling because he misheard and thought they said Ted Cruz died. I don't know. The state of our modern gerontocracy. I just want to point out here, like, this brings the Senate's, the Republican majority in the Senate functionally to 51-47 until they can wheel McConnell back in. So yeah, Mitch is alive.
Mitch coming back wouldn't be 52, is what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
But basically, if Mitch can't show up, then getting to 50 votes, after you get a defector or two will require a Ouija board.
Yeah.
the Senate is so fucking old. They have the survival rate of like Russian troops on the front lines. The average age of a U.S. senator is now just under 66 years old, and more than one-third of members are older than Lindsey Graham.
Damn. I mean, not that that's surprising, but I mean, third, that's a lot.
Lindsey Graham was 71 when he passed away. And the guy who Trump wanted to appoint to replace Lindsey, the guy wanted the governor to appoint to replace Lindsey, was 78. Instead, they went with Lindsey Graham's sister, Darlene, who's 62. Darlene, by the way, just a fun little Southern thing you and I can relate to. She spells her name D-A-R-L-I-N-E, which is not how it was in a birth certificate, which is L-E-N-E, which is the normal way you spell Darlene. Apparently, Lindsey taught her to spell it wrong. I don't know why.
But like as a goof?
I don't know.
Because as a big brother, that's funny. It's funny to have done that, and then it lasts forever. That's a pretty good.
I have a bunch of older relatives who's the people who named them were semi illiterate, so all their names are sort of spelled wrong.
Right.
Like my grandma who just died. Her first name was technically Nanny. They tried to name her after Nancy, after a lady they knew who went by Nanny, but they didn't know that Nanny was a nickname. So that seems like a very common early 20th century thing. Anyway, Darlene, used to be a pretty normal thing to appoint someone's spouse or sister to serve out the last couple of months of their
life. And his sister, without getting into it, it might come up later, whatever. There's a whole thing with him and his sister, right? He, like,
He would take her to, like, she's basically
his personal
first.
Life, didn't he, like, because I remember I used to do this thing for my Patreon when I first started, and I ended up going through all the notable ones pretty quickly, and I stopped, where I would, like, review American politicians, like, noteworthy American politicians. And one thing that was frustrating about it was in a lot of the episodes about, like, notable Republican asshole politicians, I'd look into their background, and it would be – they'd be, like, frustratingly impressive, like, you know, in their, like, their background, like, meaning, like, it's all going to Harvard, coming up from nothing, fucking, you know, that type of thing. Lindsey Graham, I remember something about – something to do with his sister. Like, he took care of his sister or something
Both his parents died when he was, like, I think 19, 20 years old. He adopted his sister and raised her. One of the reasons he joined the Air Force was to pay for college and be able to take care of his sister.
Right. Yeah. I knew it was something like that.
Yeah. So he's got a pretty compelling personal narrative. I mean, he came from nothing. He's one of the few Congress people that didn't get rich off of it. I think his net worth at death, his death was like $2-3 million, which is, you know, 30 some years in Congress. He was the least successful inside trader in Congress. Uh-huh. We'll give him that much.
Blowing it all on gigolos, am I right, Mark? Go through it pretty quick.
Everybody had their fun doing joking about those rumors or whatever. I think probably what happened, he was just lonely and like celibate. But like, I hope he did have a bunch of sex with sex work. I hope he fucking had a good time. We don't know who called 911 because he was rushed to the hospital in the middle of the night around like midnight or whatever. We don't know like who was with him. No one knows. I'm hoping he's like a long term boyfriend who he's like for like 20 years we don't know about.
Yeah, no, it was Hank Azaria's character from The Birdcage. He had one of those guys working for a long time. Yeah. Anyway.
So before we move on from McConnell, like, so the lack of interest in where the fuck he has been for the last month and a half has been very, very weird to me. And the only reason the general public even knows he's in a hospital is this YouTube, this gonzo, quote unquote, journalist by the name of Desiree Townsend has basically been sleeping outside of his house and going through his trash and hanging outside the hospital. And I want you to watch this, play a little bit of this next clip, Matt. I want you to see if you recognize this lady. Desiree Townsend
here again outside George Washington University Hospital for a day 29 update of Senator Mitch McConnell, who is to be hospitalized based on his.
So do you remember a 2009-10 era internet meme, the flu shot cheerleader?
No, not at all. I'm going to Google it real quick.
Oh, no, I'm going to play this video for you. This will give you a taste. This is a clip from Inside Edition about this is what launched the piece that launched the meme. If you got it. This is Desiree Townsend in a former life.
Her story created a national firestorm. Desiree Jennings is the pretty ambassador for the Washington Redskins cheerleading squad, who claims she developed a rare neurological disorder called dystonia after receiving a seasonal flu shot, causing dramatic spasms and slurred speech. What made the story so startling is that her seemed to disappear when she walked backwards or ran.
Yeah, I can talk now.
Back in October, and her husband told me.
What the fuck is that? No, I don't. How did I not? I don't think I ever saw that. That's insane. Hey, she was ahead of her time, though, I will say. That was like vaccine hysteria in 2009. I mean, I know it was a niche. The Jenny McCarthy was already on board and stuff, but the flu shot specifically. So, but no, I don't. Okay, she seemed fine today.
Yeah. She
got better. Like,
yeah. I'm not clear on like what she says happened with her health, but she did pieces like the interviews later. She talked about how she felt abused by the anti-vaxxers because she thought they took advantage of her situation or whatever. She didn't say there was to me, she looks like she's obviously, you know, lots of weird shit happens. Maybe she had weird shit happen. I don't know.
I feel bad if you started this by showing a video of her today where she looks good and fine and everything. And then if that was real, then I'm a huge asshole, but that seemed fake to me and also in a hilarious way. I mean,
right.
See, it was, could talk now.
I mean, it was
walking backwards.
Yeah, it did. She could run normal backwards, but not full, but she couldn't walk forwards. It's very, very interesting medical condition. I'll just say that. But anyway, she's fine now. So moving on to Lindsey. So in the lead up to his death, he literally said, "I can't die now," because he wasn't feeling well. Which is not how
Curb Your Enthusiasm theme plays.
He tried to do the I ain't got time to bleed now thing from Predator about a heart attack. When the person urged him to seek medical attention immediately, Graham said he would do it so Sunday morning after his scheduled appearance on NBC's Meet the Press. So he couldn't take care of his heart attack, which killed him because he had to go on TV.
I mean, I don't know how much of it. I don't know how regional this is, maybe, or maybe it's a white thing, or maybe it's a generational thing, or maybe it's just everywhere or whatever. But I will say, like, pretty much every man in my family who are all Southern white men were all like that. Like, that's how, like, my grandpa, 100%, he was complaining of chest pains and shit, people begging him to go to the doctor, and he just wouldn't do it. You know, he's like, not, you know, whatever, got shit to do. He just wouldn't. And then, you know, his heart exploded and he died. So, you know, I'm not surprised to hear that.
Trey, I've never died before. Past performance is the indicator of future results. What are you worried about? So Graham, he said, when he was asked why he couldn't die, he said, I can't die now. I still need to do the Russia sanctions, get Iran sorted out, and do Israeli-Saudi normalization. So I can't die right now. I'm too busy procuring peace in the Middle East. Like, also, let me translate for you. I need to do Israeli-Saudi normalization. I need to help pull Saudi Arabia into Israel's war in Iran. I do say one thing I will miss about Lindsey Graham is he might be one of five U.S. senators who could find Iran on a map and know what a Shiite is.
Yeah.
We have to talk about death a lot on the show, and as always, just to reiterate, I will laugh at other people's death as much as I will laugh at my own future hypothetical one, right? Which is a lot. Every human death is a different punchline to the great cosmic joke. And I have to say, for Lindsey, pushing for war with Iran for 40 fucking years, finally getting the stupidest execution of your dumb idea, immediately losing, and then dying is a pretty fucking great bit.
What's the origin of him? Why was he so hawkish about Iran for 40 years or whatever specifically?
Do you want me to tell you the story the way he would tell it, I think?
Sure, yes, in his honor, Mark.
Okay, so he grew up during the Cold War, obviously, like a lot of these guys did. And he was in the Air Force stationed in West Germany in the 80s, the height of the Cold War. And that was, you know, at the peak of NATO's usefulness and all this stuff, where America, you know, the Soviet Union was fucking awful and evil. And like, if you came of age in the 70s, it's hard to imagine now, but it felt like the Soviet Union was winning in the 70s.
Right.
And so, like, he's just like, everything's always on the verge of whatever. And then, the mullahs came back to power in 79. Iran's been this great boogeyman. You know, they blew up the Marine barracks in 1984 in Lebanon, caused Reagan to pull out of Lebanon, whatever. And it was like, since then, there's an entire, like, huge constituency inside the U.S. government for Iran being the great boogeyman. And if you look at, like, the way he would put it is, like, and Marco Rubio made this point yesterday, the way they would put it is, Iran is the cause of every problem in the Middle East. I don't think that's true, but that's the way they would put it. So that Lindsey is there. He's like, you know, America's the last great hope for mankind. Iran's the only threat left standing to it after we defeat the Soviet Union. Is that probably how he'd put it? Anyway.
Okay.
But he did just objectively love war and kick an ass. The last picture of him, as far as I know, is he was just in Ukraine touring a drone manufacturing facility. Look how happy he was just holding this fucking drone.
Yeah, it's funny on two levels to me, because it's like, that's a death machine, but, you know, also kind of looks like a dick. Am I right? So,
yeah,
it's a little phallic. A lot of those jokes, like you said, who sent Drew? I think since one, somebody said, this is a clip of Lindsey Graham trying to get Ronald Reagan's attention in hell. And it was Leslie Jordan going like, daddy, daddy, watch me twirl, daddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty lots of funny, pretty, you know, it would be homophobic if he wasn't who he is. So it makes it fine. It does though. Yeah. The context makes it different anyway.
So a lot of people were having fun on the internet, including the government of Iran. Let me read this statement from them. Okay. From Iranian state TV. The anti-Iranian U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham died after seeing he could not overthrow the Iranian nation. He was gay and unmarried, leaving behind no offspring to pollute the world.
Jesus Christ. Pretty ruthless.
Yeah. Do you remember a couple months ago when the White House put out that intelligence report that said the new Ayatollah was one-legged and gay? Now this is just what we do to each other. We just like, it all is fair in love and war and fifth grade shit talking. We're all calling each other gay in the international stage.
Yeah, well, I mean, Trump had brought that like middle school playground fucking roast energy from day one. You know what I mean? With Crooked Hillary and Sleepy Joe and all that dumb shit. So it's not surprising.
Yeah. So Iran, I don't want to play it because it's long, but like Iran put out a new Lego video gloating after Lindsey Graham's death. In the video, if you're not familiar, we talked about before, but Iran makes like Lego movie AI videos making fun of the United States. They've been doing it since the war started. And this one, Lindsey Graham's at home in the middle of the night playing with dolls. And then the Angel of Death shows up and I guess gives him a heart attack. The Angel of Death, I guess, represents Iran assassinating him or something. And then people rush him into an ambulance. And then a Persian woman who's wearing a mask, like a surgical mask, like declares him dead and checks his name off the list. And the next person on the list is Laura, who I'm presuming is Laura Loomer.
That kind of pisses me off. It's like, she don't warrant that.
No. You know what I mean? She was reposting it being like, look how important
I
am.
That's what I'm saying. That's like a win for her. Yeah.
It's also like I feel like on a human level, even though I disagree with most everything the man stood for, I have more respect for Lindsey Graham than Trump does. You play this video.
That's certainly true.
You know, what makes it even stranger is that I got a call last night sometime in, you know, the early evening. Maybe in the sevens. And he called and he said, we're all set for the Save America Act. He was pushing the Save America Act like crazy. He got back, said he just landed from Ukraine. I said, that's a long trip to make. And he said,
all right, you go back.
Sounded a little tired.
So the Save America, he called me with his last dying wish, which only I heard was that he passed the law that I am the only person who once passed in the whole, state, city of D.C. More last conversations people have with Lindsey. Trump had another wish. Trump, I think Lindsey Graham was going to be there very strongly on the filibuster. He was coming aboard for terminating the filibuster. Bibi Netanyahu on Lindsey Graham. The last conversation I had with him, he was so concerned with our security that he fought for increasing America's aid to Israel. there's probably like a little girl named Madison McGillicuddy who's running for sixth grade class president. He's going to swear that Lindsey Graham told her what he wanted more than anything was for her class to get free pizza every day. politically, I'm not sure what not that the Senate's functioning anyway right now, but there's a few big fights they're poised to have. Graham was pushing for new sanctions on Russia. They got to pass a new reconciliation bill, the third one. They got to pass the budget for fiscal year 2027, which is probably already going to lead to government shutdown. Now I don't know how to get out of it because I think both McConnell and Graham on the Appropriations Committee. So even though Republicans control the Senate, Democrats now have a majority on the Appropriations Committee, I think. Also, Lindsey was a member of the Judiciary Committee, which was set this week to hold confirmation hearings for Attorney General Todd Blanche to take the job permanently. They really need him and his help to get Blanche confirmed. So I think his nomination's probably dead because you got the people who Trump's already turfed out of office, like your Tom Tillis's and your the guy from Louisiana, the doctor guy came. I can't remember right now, but there's others who are retiring and going away, and other moderates who can't be seen voting for a guy as like didactic as Todd Blanche. So I think you're probably going to have to find another nominee for Attorney General. Realistically. Graham had been this senator from South Carolina, one of them, for 23 years. This is a job that people typically hold on for a long time unless you give it to a 62-year-old. So you can look forward to a bunch of people just completely embarrass themselves and debase themselves trying to get this job.
Was his seat up in the fall?
Yes.
Or it was anyway? Okay.
I think so, yeah.
Was somebody even running against him? Like,
no, I mean, I'm talking on my ass. I think he was supposed to be reelected this year, but he would have been a shoo-in.
Right. Matt says yes, he won the primary. So
I thought he was up this year. So yeah, someone's going to jump in the race. Nancy Mace said she's considering throwing her hat in the ring. Just a reminder where she's at right now. She gave up her House seat to finish fifth place in the South Carolina gubernatorial primary. That was fifth out of five. I think she could get that down to eighth out of five after debuting a few more mental illnesses. let me quote here from Politico. Treasury Secretary Scott Bissent is fielding calls to run for South Carolina's open U.S. Senate seat after Lindsey Graham's death. It is insanely funny for the people who are morally opposed to DEI out of the core of their being to make South Carolina's Senate seat like the designated Senate seat for a gay Republican.
Like, we got a couple more guys around here, right? One of them can do it.
There's a bunch of different jobs that legislators do. The ones we see on TV are the ones we hate them for, right? But, like, actually writing legislation is also pretty important. Like, they literally just have to write budgets to get stuff like schools funded.
Right. They even do that, though? Don't they? Like, aren't those written for them by lobbyists and consultants and staff members and shit like that?
They're staff members. But you want to be careful about how much you hand over, how much of it you hand over, because these aren't necessarily people who have your interests in the interest of your constituents at heart. But Lindsey knew how to actually legislate. So this new breed of just appearing on TV senators from the South are going to be a disaster for appropriations in those seats. Like, do you think that Tommy Tuberville knows how to, like, get railroad money appropriated? No. Or knows how to, like, get money for textbooks?
No, it's all they care about is sound bites and
camera
time and shit like that.
Right. So, as always, my heart goes out to teachers from the South. It really is the end of an era, and this is the part that's hard to, like, like, explain to people. Being a United States senator used to be an important job.
Right.
Some of them were even serious people.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, a lot of them, you look into it even now. Well, it's like Lindsey Graham, you know. Even he, I'm not saying he was, like, a good whatever, but, like, famously, he was the one who said, you know, he was super anti-Trump to begin with, and he was the one who said, you know, if we allow this guy to win the nomination, it will destroy our party and we'll deserve it or whatever and all that shit. And it's like you said, you look into his background, and he's, like, impressive and seems like, someone you could see rising to that kind of station or whatever, and it's all just fucking pro wrestling bullshit now. But he totally just sold out to that, too, obviously, and, like, hopped on board in a big way in recent years. So, also, fuck him for that. But,
yeah,
a lot of rot.
Yeah, I wish I could, like the people that actually knew him will talk about how, like, you know, what he said in public was different than private or whatever. And I think you can look at that, like, if we nominate him, we'll get destroyed and we'll deserve a quote a bunch of different ways. I would think of it. Nah, I mean, I'm feeling charitable towards him because he just passed. But, yeah, I mean, you're right. He did flip his public positions. I think the way he would describe it is as a patriot. He's a my country right or wrong guy, secondary to his democratic principles. And once – it wasn't just the party. Once the country went in on Trump, it was like, okay, this is what we're doing.
Right.
Going to make it work. But, yeah, if you travel back to 2015, Graham described Trump as a, quote, race-baiting, xenophobic, religious bigot who should go to hell and also a nut job. And another thing has been memory hold. This was from July 21st, 2015, so almost 11 years ago to the day. Here's Trump torturing Lindsey Graham live on television. You got this.
Today I got called a jackass by this guy. Then I said to myself, hey, didn't this guy call me like 4 years ago? Yes. He called me three, four years ago. Lindsey Graham, I didn't even know who he was. He goes, Mr. Trump, this is Senator Lindsey Graham. I wonder if it would be possible for you to call Fox. And he wanted to know whether or not I could give him a good reference on Fox and Friends. Okay? He wanted to know, would I do that? And then, of course, he wanted to know whether or not he could come and see me for some campaign contribution. And he gave me his number. And I found the card. I wrote the number down. I don't know if it's the right number. Let's try it. 202. Maybe
oh my god, yeah. Dude. At first, when he just held the card out and it was like bleeped out or it blurred out, I thought that was it, that he had just held the card out on camera and people could see it. So then when he then read the number off, god, although I will say one thing that's pretty striking about that to me was the difference in Trump then. Huh? I mean, it's 11 years ago, and he wasn't a spring chicken at that time, so it's not like it should be surprising, but, like, it's still a pretty, you know, pretty marked difference. Like, yeah, when you go all the way back to that and look at how he was then.
His dentures weren't falling out and he could form a sentence.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So he gave up. Like, then Graham's response to that, that's one of those moments where everyone assumed that that was so crazy. Like, that was Lindsey Graham's real phone number. He had to change his phone number because he was getting a bunch of death threats. And he made a video where he smashed his own phone, like a bit performatively, and said, "This is for the troops," because, you know, Trump had insulted John McCain. And it didn't work.
It did not. Weekly Skews is brought to you by ZBiotics. July is a full sprint, y'all. We all know it. Cookouts, lake weekends, late nights on a neighbor's back porch. Fun stuff, you know. But I don't know about you, but I'm at the age where a great Saturday night, in my head, that comes with a real tax you got to pay come Sunday morning. You know what I'm talking about. Sunday morning coming down. We know the deal. I got tired of paying that tax, you know. But pre-alcohol, ZBiotics pre-alcohol, that's how it turns out. You can do both even after 40. Let me tell you more. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic invented by PhD scientists to tackle those rough mornings after drinking. So here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in your gut, and it's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration in and of itself, that's to blame for those rough mornings after drinking. Pre-alcohol from ZBiotics produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. So you just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night. Drink responsibly, of course, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. And I can vouch for that. Every time I drink one before the first beer the next morning, I'm up and moving around like a functioning adult instead of a cautionary tale. This summer, you can keep the good times rolling well into the next day. Drink ZBiotics pre-alcohol before you go out and wake up ready for whatever the next morning brings. Head to ZBiotics.com/skew, that's SKEW, and use the promo code SKEW at checkout for 15% off. One more time, ZBiotics.com/skew, and use the promo code SKEW for 15% off. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's true that we talk about mental health more openly than we used to, but actually asking for help is still hard, and the numbers prove it. BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma Report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of us believe that getting support is wise, yet 74% say society discourages people from actually doing so. So think about that gap. You know, it means almost everybody agrees that therapy's smart and good, but most of us decide, yeah, but that's for somebody else, though. We'll get a second opinion on a lawnmower, but the inside of our own heads, we just wing it forever, now until the day we die. That's how we do, right? I've nudged buddies towards therapy, and here's the pattern. They resist, then they go with it, then they act like they invented it, right? No one's ever regretted going. It's like the gym. The only regret is weights. The gym for your brain's heart. You know what I mean. BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform. Over 30,000 fully licensed U.S. therapists held to a strict code of conduct. 6 million people served and a 4.9 out of 5 average rating across more than 1.7 million reviews. Quite the sample size. You fill out a short questionnaire. They'll match you with a therapist that makes sense for you. After 12 plus years, they're pretty good at that. They generally nail it the first time, but if you're not right with that match, you can switch anytime you want to, so there's no risk whatsoever. Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy today with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com/skews. That's betterhelp.com/skews. betterhelp.com/skews. Sign up and get 10% off today. BetterHelp, help yourself. Weekly Skews is brought to you by Leesa, L-E-E-S-A, Leesa. Summer's the season where everybody's supposed to be relaxing, but nobody is. You know, you're traveling, hosting things. The kids are at home all day. It's exhausting. That's why here at Skews, we're big fans of Leesa. Their mattresses are supported without being stiff, soft, without swallowing you whole. They're a reset button that we all need during these long summer days, and you wake up actually feeling rested the next morning. Leesa's not one mattress hoping to fit everybody. They build a whole lineup around how you sleep, whatever position you've settled in over the years. You just take their 2-minute sleep quiz, and it'll match you up with the mattresses best for you personally. Designed and assembled in the U.S. of A, Wirecutter's pick for best hybrid and best memory foam mattresses, free shipping, easy returns, and a 120-night sleep trial. They've donated over 43,000 mattresses to families in need, too, so their hearts are in the right place as well. Go to Leesa, L-E-E-S-A, Leesa.com for 25% off select mattresses. Plus, you can get an extra $50 off when you use the promo code SKEW, S-K-E-W. That's an exclusive just for you skewers out there. That's LEESA.com. Use the promo code SKEW for 25% off select mattresses, plus an extra $50 off. And when you use our code, you're supporting our show by doing so. So tell them we sent you. Lisa.com, promo code SKEW.
Warning. This product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
We don't want to waste your time, so we won't. Vuse is vapor done right. Simple, sleek, stylish. Because when you find a vape that goes with everything, everything just clicks. Find Vuse at your local convenience store down the block.
Underage sale prohibited. Vuse is a vapor product. Website restricted to age 21 plus tobacco consumers. Copyright 2026 RJRVC.
You think Trump trying to destroy, like I talked before about how he was stationed in West Germany, in the Air Force before he got into politics. And that was sort of part of his origin story for why he was such a foreign policy hawk. So you'd think Trump trying to destroy NATO would have been a real bright line for him, you know, NATO being what those kind of people see as the thing that's held the line and prevented World War III. And he somehow was trying to navigate this narrow line where keeping Trump on board with like checking Russian aggression. I mean, he was just back in Ukraine for a reason, right? So after Russia invaded Ukraine in 2022, he supported Ukraine and advocated for the transfer of American weapons to Ukraine, which we've done off and on for a while. Trump stopped sending weapons to Ukraine about a year and a half ago or 2 years ago, despite all of his ass kissing, and they've been surviving on their own with German weapons since then. Graham repeatedly proposed legislation to sanction Russia. He did it so often that it was kind of a joke. He's basically proposing sanctions on Russia like every week or two. And maybe it's because like it feels kind of performative, like Sisyphean? Is that you said?
Yeah, Sisyphean. Yeah, pushing the boulder. Yeah,
like, yeah.
Doomed.
So if you wanted like a material sign that he like that his soul was still in there somewhere, is that, you know, taking trips back and forth, those long flights with a bad heart probably caused his death going back and forth to Ukraine, trying to get Trump to change his mind and help him out again. And Trump used the occasion of Lindsey Graham's death to go on CNN and to reiterate that he wished that Ukraine had already surrendered. Maybe this is all paid off. Like maybe because Ukraine is doing pretty well, you know, maybe the weapons we gave them were enough to, you know, to slobber Ukraine or whatever you want to put it. Here's Graham in Ukraine 2 or 3 days ago giving a speech to that drone factory where he took the picture.
We've reached agreement with the White House on a version of the Russian sanctions bill that they will support. It means it's going to become law.
All right. So seems healthy and spry right there, right?
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, if it's a major heart attack or whatever, it can get you like that.
But a huge chunk of people have apparently never known anyone who just died.
Yeah, well, I mentioned my papaw earlier. I mean, that's what happened to him. I mean, you know, I mean, he was fine as much as anybody that fucking smoked a pack and a day and drank a bowl of whiskey a night could be. But he was, he was fine one day and then his heart exploded and then he was dead.
So this is his last time on camera, as far as anyone knows. And let me quote here.
So you're saying that people who haven't seen that happen or whatever just want to be conspiracy minded. They're like, look, he's fine. He's clearly fine. Something's up here.
Yeah.
Because there's always something up with everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me quote here from Bill Ackman. This doesn't look like a guy who would die hours later. I mean, kind of does, actually, because that's kind of how it goes. Do you think like there's like we've gotten worse at dealing with the idea of death because people don't die at home anymore or something? Like, people don't actually see it happen, so, like, they just can't process what it actually means or what it looks like?
Oh, yeah, maybe. That's an interesting theory.
But
used to everybody lived in the same room in the same house, and people were just dying all the time, young and old alike. So you got pretty acquainted with the Reaper. Mm-hmm. We don't have that anymore.
No. So, but yeah, because, you know, this current state in America, we see conspiracies everywhere. Let me quote here from a Kash Patel tweet that did not help. The FBI is assisting local authorities and has made every necessary resource available. With what? What are you assisting with?
Muslim heart attack gun.
Yeah. Let me read here. This is Laura Loomer, who's making her third or fourth appearance today, because she's apparently made herself one of the five most important people in America. Did Russia just poison Lindsey Graham? There seriously needs to be an investigation. Russia just sent a delegation to Khomeini's funeral in Tehran, where IRGC and funeral organizers were calling for myself, President Trump, and Senator Graham to be assassinated. Lindsey Graham was in Ukraine one day ago calling for a Russian sanctions bill that he claimed the White House supports. Now he's just suddenly dead from random illness. Did Russia just murder a U.S. senator? You can just spitball causes belly for a nuclear exchange.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Twitter's for now, apparently.
Right.
By the way, Russia does not need to kill Laura Loomer. They could just wait for her to die from whatever overseas peptides are making her face larger and larger.
Right. And when they do it, when she does, they'll get credit for that anyway, you know, yeah. from other people.
Yeah. So just to say something out loud here, I can't tell you that Russia didn't kill. I mean, Russia says assassinated people. We also just greenlit the concept of assassinating foreign leaders being kosher in international law because we just did it to the Ayatollah and a bunch of people in the Iranian government. You see a bright line you didn't cross and just fucking walked across it. So you really can't complain. You can say well, we killed your guy, but don't kill our guy on some mafia shit. Absolutely. But you have no moral case to say they can't kill Trump. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right.
He's in bounds now. And you see, last year, the Israel told Trump that Iran was trying to assassinate him a couple weeks ago. That's why they swapped out his plane. And, I want to say, they created a strange incentive structure here with the conspiracy. So, Israel tells the White House that Iran's trying to assassinate him. Trump says he's left behind a bunch of instructions to bomb Iran off the map if he dies. Now, I wanted to bet there were at least a couple no bad ideas pitch meetings at Mossad HQ. Just fucking, just throwing shit out.
Yeah, that's a very good point. It's wild that, I don't know, I would think you would assume that they would want you dead. Do you know what I mean? You shouldn't need to be told if you're in Trump's position, if you're bombing this other country, a literal war with another country, and it's they'd assassinate you if they could. They're going to try to, and be like, what? Yeah.
It's almost
they
why
better
you,
yeah. not. It's pretty wild.
It's almost why you shouldn't get on a fake Air Force One that was gifted to you by a foreign power from the Middle East. Yeah. Whatever. But anyway, just to reiterate, Lindsey Graham was 71 years old. He'd been on statins for 30 or 40 years. He was overweight, and he was a rage addict who drank half a bottle of scotch a day. All right. Mm-hmm. So I don't think Russia would need to go some trouble to kill him, but whatever, maybe, who knows. I just want to point out that you do assassinations like this for two reasons. One would be to send a message, and the other would be to discredit a movement. To send a message, you don't make it look natural. That's why Russia uses polonium and people falling out of windows. And if you wanted to discredit him, you would have him found in fishnets and pumps or some shit, right?
Yep.
So none of that stuff happened unless it was all covered. It was all covered up. He was in fishnets and pumps, and then the ambulance put him back in pants. Mm-hmm. I will say that Putin is fucking desperate and going crazy. So maybe you just do it because he fucking he's living in a bunker. Ukraine is, as military guys say, seize the initiative. They've been striking deep into Russia, and Russian civilians are facing gas shortages, and he sort of lives in fear of a coup. He's supposedly MI6 says he has four body doubles now.
Mm-hmm.
Now they lie all the time. I don't know if it's true that he has four body doubles, but I do think it's fucking, let's pretend it's true for the sake of comedy right now. So four guys had to get face-off surgery to look like Vladimir Putin, and he's 5'4", so they all probably had to get their legs shortened. Living in a fucking dictatorship seems like hell. So just to point out how desperate Russia probably is getting right now, just to have fun with the idea of this conspiracy theory. I sent you guys this video, but I do want to enjoy it again because I've watched it 500 times. A couple Russian troops tried to jury-rig an anti-drone setup with a rotary machine gun, which is usually mounted on helicopters for reasons you're about to be pretty obvious because they have a diagonal recoil and they're very powerful. Anyway, you got this video, man.
Yeah. More Looney Tunes stuff.
Yeah, let it play, man. Watch this. This is my favorite part. No one else catches. Guy gets up and he touches the hot machine gun barrel. He burned his fucking head. He had the duck so his head didn't get decapitated by the goddamn, is it a minigun? Something adjacent to a minigun.
Looks like a minigun to me based on my, like, Xbox knowledge.
And then he touched the barrel to pull himself up. Yeah, just like the guy going flying, just like all-time meme potential right there.
Yes.
So anyway, one thing I did agree with Lindsey Graham on is that bloodthirsty Russian imperialism should not be allowed to stand. I wish he extended that concept to other bloodthirsty forms of imperialism. Anyway, I agree. We do agree that Vladimir Putin deserves a tyrant's death. Sic semper tyrannis. So we got a few minutes left. Have you been, while we're on the subject, our favorite subject, which is the stupidity of modern conspiracy theorists, we haven't checked in on the Tyler Robinson case in a little bit. Do you want to talk about it?
Yes. Have we talked about it, the case on here at all? Like,
well, back when he was arrested and stuff, we talked about Charlie Kirk's death and the evidence and all that. So they've been doing a pretrial hearing. I think this, if it goes to trial, which I think it absolutely will, the trial would happen in September. The scene of this thing, they've been doing like a red carpet, like arrivals, like it's a fucking award show. Like, play this video, Matt, if you got it. This is outside the courthouse. That's Jack Posobiec getting out of a red Lotus convertible.
To do what?
To make an entrance, baby. Sunglasses and a suit. So a bunch of like influencers are attending this thing, apparently at the behest of like Charlie's widow and his organization, trying to put the conspiracy theory toothpaste back in this one particular tube because it's making their lives problematic. Here's Benny Johnson on Fox News. And in his words, I mean, this is his words on the when he posted his video. So I apologize for the. I just won't say it. He said, "Sorry, I'm done. I just called out all the R words live on Fox News." And R words, he's talking about his own followers, I think.
Yes, absolutely, Kevin. This has been an overwhelming and demonstrable evidentiary bombshell for the prosecution. We've never seen anything like it. I have never seen more of a devastating case. My question to anybody doubting at this point if Tyler Robinson killed Charlie Kirk is, what more do you need? The medical examiner said that Charlie Kirk, my friend, was killed with a 30-06.
Okay. So he goes on.
All right. There's still this like civil war going on amongst right-wing influencers. One faction, the Candace Owens faction, right, thinks that Israel did it and Tyler Robinson is innocent. And then the other faction, which apparently Benny Johnny is on, the Erica Kirk faction, is like, no, it was this guy, this crazy lone wolf, libtard shooter or whatever, killed him. Israel had nothing to do with it. Those are the two sides.
So, I mean, like, Candace Owens is the one going harder. Like, she has a theory involving Egyptian planes or some shit, and then there's a lob mic that exploded to kill him that was planted by Mossad, and also Erica Kirk was in on it or something. But there's soft versions of it that, like, Rogan's been pushing to one that's like, oh, it just seems weird. Like, the idea there was no exit wound, the 30-06 bullet didn't go through his neck, is applying a lot of fire to this stuff, which I agree is weird, but, like, sometimes in life, just weird. It's just weird.
Isn't there something about the gun too? Like, it was there and then wasn't, or something. They said he had to have left with it, but on the cameras, you can't see a gun anywhere, or something like that.
Yeah, there's like I'm having trouble even making sense of it because a lot of stuff got confused because cops did their normal thing here where they screwed up some of the paperwork.
Yeah, surely. So not.
So if you, this is what drives me crazy about all true crime stuff is like. As a person who, like, when I, for my old job, I used to sit through a lot of, like, criminal trials. And it's fairly normal for stuff to be messed up because cops are normal people who fuck up. Like, so somebody at the scene, there was a holster found with no gun in it. Okay. One cop said the holster was empty. Another cop said the holster had a gun in it. This, remember, this is the time where somebody on the ground screamed, "I didn't do it, I didn't do it," and held up his hands.
Oh, right.
And I thought he was like, it's a chaos. It was a shooting scene. Like, you can't make one-to-one sense of everything involved in a very complicated fluid situation. But there are discrepancies between the police reports and some of the videos. The timestamps might be wrong or whatever, but there's a bunch of fucking videos with Tyler Robbins' face on it out of college where he didn't go on the day Charlie Kirk was killed there. And then also his romantic interest, his roommate Lance Twiggs, testified against him, said he confessed. His parents saw him on the video and went to him, who he confessed to, and they turned him into the police station together, where after confessing to his parents. So the amount of people that are in on this for it to be like a Mossad operation is fucking tremendous. Right. I'm not sure why they picked Tyler Robinson to use as the patsy.
Right.
How'd they find him?
It's always my question. That's always my question when the person is still alive when it's over. It's like, mm-hmm. How is that supposed to work? How do you get somebody to agree to do that? You know, or mm-hmm. someone who you can slide in there without their agreement and somehow make that work the whole time with other than murdering them.
Even if you think like, he didn't agree to it. It's just like his roommate and his his parents are in on it, but he's still a patsy. It's like, you're a parent. Wouldn't you just say, can I confess to it? Let my son go free instead of getting the death penalty. Anyway, so this line they're trying to walk. Well, these influencers are trying to tell their followers to disbelieve an observable reality, except when it leads to accusing our friends Israel and Erica is very fucking weird to me.
Mm-hmm.
But to be fair, it is consistent. What they're saying is, believe whatever I tell you.
Yeah, right. That is true. Yeah.
So, because Candace has ginned up death threats against Erica, which is evil and stupid, and she should stop, but like all of them should stop. Like, for example, let me read here. So this is a piece in the Washington Post about how conspiracy theories are ruling this case. Right, about all the evidence, okay? Right-wing influencer Candace Owens was not satisfied. "Enjoy your fed slop," she told her 8 million followers on X, declaring the text messages suspicious. She claimed law enforcement never collected the relevant phone, even though they just testified they had. Blake Neff, a producer for Charlie Kirk's show, said in an interview Friday that the evidence aired in court could help address the conspiracy theories, but that he is, quote, "under no illusions it will make them go away." "Dealing with the murder of a friend has been painful enough," he said. "To take a clear-cut case and say actually the guilty people are the people who have suffered most through all this, it's an incredibly heinous act." He produces a show whose main topic is that poor migrant workers, who are essentially human trafficked here, are leading a vast conspiracy to take away Americans' birthright. And he doesn't see a connection between these two fucking things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what to make of all this stuff. I wish we could all just come back to reality and say, yeah, some stuff is fucking, sometimes stuff is weird. But like, a bunch of people, like, we all get our news from algorithms now. And I think a bunch of people are waiting for like some big like Matlock moment where Tyler Robinson is proven innocent.
Right.
And he walks free and then Erica Kirk's placed in cuffs, and like they're going to be shocked when he's just like convicted in an open and shut case.
Well, I mean, that'll just be
proof of a bigger conspiracy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. That's just how deep it goes, Mark.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I just, as a person who sat through a lot of criminal trials, you can go through this with every true crime documentary you watch, but a lot of it's based upon like, it's just the one case the producers looked at and saw something fucked up and blew it up and focused on it. Like, you know, when you look close enough at a picture, all you see is dots.
Yeah.
You can do that with any criminal case and ignore the bigger picture here. And that's essentially what a lot of people do with true crime stuff, and including this case. And I'll just say that there's far more evidence against Tyler Robinson than there is against the average person on death row.
Right. People always want things to be more interesting than it is, too. Right. So it's just like you just look for something that's not there.
It's hella interesting. This fucking like Boy Scout from Utah just randomly decided to do it like a Day of the Jackal type assassination because he was in love with a trans dude or non-binary or whatever. It's like it would make a cool movie if you want to make the movie. How you want to tell it is up to you.
It's like this generation's Dog Day Afternoon or something.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you guys for watching. We appreciate it. We're going to slide these plugs in here. Don't turn off just yet. Listen to me, please. Come see me on the road if you don't mind. Go to treycrowder.com and check out my upcoming tour dates. I'm at the Grove in Arkansas this weekend, and then after that, got a little bit of time off, and then later we're in the Midwest, Omaha, Des Moines, Kansas City, then Syracuse, Albany, Hartford, a whole bunch of other places in the near future, all at treycrowder.com. Also, consider checking out Producer Matt's audio exclusive Good Skews, Good People Doing Good Things. It's a nice palate cleanser for this show that's on the audio feed for the Skews. And as for the main show, if you'd like to support it and get more of it, you can do so on Patreon. $5 a month get you access to two free full-length bonus episodes, plus all the ad-free they're not free, you pay $5 a month, two full-length bonus episodes plus ad-free versions of the main episodes is what I meant to say. The bonus episodes often include skew and A's where we answer your questions. weeklyskews.com/more or go on Patreon, search for my name. Either way, thanks for watching the main show. That's it for now. We'll see you next time. Love you, bye.
Skew.